What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, where we're smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. I'm Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is episode 94, and today is going to be a solely UFC-focused show. We are going to take a look at the ramifications across the board from UFC 259. We're going to take a brief look at next week's UFC fight card Vegas. I think it's 21 now, Paul. And we are going to also discuss some rather surprise UFC releases and firings over the past few days. Before we dive deeply into the UFC, grab your weed, fire it up, and let's get into the weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
Folks, whatever you're smoking on, we hope it's something good, delicious, hopefully legal. We've had more states join the mix lately. Today, Paul and I are smoking on one type of flower, one concentrate. We've got slurricane today, my friend, in this pipe right here, as well as this bottle bong. We've also got some of the Ghost OG Diamond still in the packs 3. Let me take a hit of this. How does it taste so far?
I like it, actually. I feel like anything that has, like, that, like, will go into the...
Well, the genetics here, it's an indica. Genetics are Do-Si-Do, which we were smoking on a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Crossed with Purple Punch. The Do-Si-Do, if people
which are
remember...
Two of my favorites, right?
Yeah, Purple Punch is great. The Do-Si-Do is Face Off OG and Girl Scout Cookies. The Purple Punch is also one of my favorites. It is Larry OG, and that's crossed with Granddaddy Purple, which is a legendary strain. Also a favorite of mine, known for its really heavy trichomes, which if you really don't know your cannabis, that's the good stuff. So this is pretty tasty. I'm going to hit it in this bottle bong right here. You know, Paul, I still haven't bought a new bong since I broke the last one.
Oh, I know.
You know, because we're smoking out of this tired ass bottle bong every week. But I gotta say, I don't even know if this company is still around, man. Bottlebong.com, I gotta say, just they're not expensive enough to be able to like promote them and be a promoter and make any money. You know what I mean? Like, I can't give you a web code where we can make money promoting Bottle Bong because it's like $10.
Yeah.
But it's the best $10 I've ever spent on a weed device. Dude, I've had this thing for like 3 years, man. Use it all the time.
Holy shit.
Like, it fits on most every bottle. The worst you got to do sometimes is add a little duct tape if it's one of those bottles with the tiny little lids.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the stem is glass, the bowl is glass, the outer piece is plastic. And you just got a fucking bong anytime you need it.
It's pretty dope.
It is what it is, dude. But it don't break.
Yeah,
see, I'm going to say that, and this fucking stem's going to break.
I know, you're
going
to break,
dude,
it tomorrow now.
Like, we'll be on the show next week, and be like, what happened to the bottle bong, Jared? Oh, I broke stem.
Broke it.
Oh, is this PAX going? You turn that off. Okay, good.
Yeah, it was fucking hot.
Yeah, I could feel it right when I got up to it.
I was like, yeah, this is all
right. Dude, those stay cool for a while, but right now it's set at the max, which is 420 degrees, ironically.
Hot.
And it's got the boost on it for concentrate, so.
Yeah.
You have that on for a couple minutes, it gets pretty hot.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyways, I'm going to hit this slurricane here. Hopefully, folks, you're smoking on something delicious as well. And while I hit this, we're definitely talking about the UFC because that's all that's on the table today.
Yeah.
But we should probably just dive into, what do you think? UFC 259.
Yeah. Where do you want to start this? It's my question, because there's just so much to get into over the weekend. This is one of the, like, few cards I could, like, honestly say the undercard was just as good as the main card. Like, 100%. There were so many great fights on the undercard.
Yeah, it was a night of exciting fights. Had a lot of stoppages.
Five of the first seven were stoppages.
I was a little surprised with the fight of the night selection, honestly.
Were you?
I just... Look, I don't like to criticize fighters all the time. It's because they're pros. I'm just some guy on the phone that used to be or on the radio that used to be a boxer, amateur at that. But whatever. Still, I just thought the fight was really sloppy. I thought those guys weren't really UFC level. I think I said something at the time like, I feel like I'm watching a legacy card. And that's, I mean, just, I don't know. I didn't get it why those guys are really in the UFC. I know the heavyweight division's not deep, but the skill level just didn't seem to be there. And then I was surprised that they wound up getting fight of the night. So, okay.
Well, I believe both guys are from the Contender Series, so they're both young in their career.
That's the problem with the Contender Series, in a way.
Yeah, there's good and bad.
One of the downsides is we get a lot of raw talent that you're used to the UFC. I mean, I'm old school UFC fan.
Yeah.
And it used to be where the best go to fight the best. And so just because a fighter's not at their best right now, I'm not saying that like they suck. I'm just saying that level of skill that I was watching, in my opinion, was something that should have been in a lower promotion, not meaning to disrespect the fighters.
It was the third fight off the undercard, though, on the early prelims. So, I mean,
it's the UFC, though.
Here's the thing.
I like how my voice cracked. It's the UFC, though.
Here's the thing,
Paul.
Though. When you're talking about the landscape of where mixed martial arts is right now, see, in the past, I would agree with you with what you were saying. But when you look at the possibility of how fighters can make money now and all that, I know we didn't really plan on talking about this, but when you talk about like how a guy who like Ullberg, well, that's a fight we were talking about, where he's like a part of Izzy's team and all that stuff, and he gets automatically a little bit of bump there, you know? And then
they're talking about these guys being the future of the division. I mean, get the fuck out of here. Maybe in years.
In years. But here's the thing, though. Back to what I was saying before. I just feel like the landscape has changed where now when you're the UFC or you're Bellator or you're one, you have some of those younger prospects that you have to nurture and that you have to put up against each other to really, like, you know, get rid of each other ultimately.
I guess.
And I feel like just because nowadays you can – Bellator could lock some – like someone like Aaron Pico or someone like that, like Ed Ruth or a lot of those
Bellator's
guys, they've
in
gone
a position
in like,
to do developmental contracts.
That's what I'm saying. Like
raw talent, where I just still see the UFC. They're supposed to get the guys after Bellator and Legacy.
That's the problem is where the money's at right now. They're not getting the guys after Bellator because you got guys, unfortunately, staying there for their whole career because they can make similar or close
to
the money.
It circles back around mainly to the sponsorship deals that these other fighters are allowed that the UFC hamstrings everybody with. If the UFC was allowing the same, you know, patches on the shorts sponsorship deals,
a lot of these guys wouldn't be happening.
We would be having this
MVP would not be in Bellator right now if that was the case.
And guys that leave to go make more money, that wouldn't be happening.
Yeah, true.
So
back to what we were talking about in the card, though. I feel like Ullberg and Kennedy were both, I don't know, I wouldn't say they're not ready for the UFC. I'd just say that they've got some work to do still. They're raw talent. They're talented, though. Like, Ullberg, if he doesn't punch, I feel like a big part of this was an adrenaline dump. It was the first fight in the UFC. You know what I'm saying? Like, he put on, although
he's about 5-0.
Yeah. Like, he had some pretty impressive strikes. Ultimately, I feel like he wasn't very selective with them. Like, he was doing a lot of flurries and a lot of, you know, like, trying to finish him because...
And a lot of lack of keeping your hands up and moving your head at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was good in and out, but once he was in the pocket, he wasn't good. Like, he was good earlier in the fight where, like, he was able to, you know, get in there, hit him with a combo, pop in and out and like not get hit. But then in the second round when he was tired and his hands were down and his feet weren't as fast is when he ran into trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and his hands went down well before he was tired. Like he came out off the cage, you know, at the start of each round with his hands at his chin like he should. But then, I mean, about 1 minute in, they're down at his waist.
Well, he fights like a lower level, like – not lower level, like a lighter guy. Like, he doesn't fight like a light heavyweight. He doesn't fight knowing the power.
Yeah, then when he got KO'd,
like,
he got KO'd because his hands were down while he thought he was being cool, slipping punches. I don't mean to sound disrespectful. No. It's not he's not skilled. It's just these are things that you, like your hands dropping
a minute into
the fight is what happens when you're a newbie fighter.
Yeah. Well, and also, punching yourself out in the first round also happens when you're a newer guy trying to make a statement. And, like, don't get me wrong. If he would have put him out, we would be talking today like, wow, that was impressive. Not because, you know, not because it was super technical or anything, but he showed a lot of different strikes that we don't see at light heavyweight. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm not saying they're not potential they're not both going to evolve and get better. I don't mean to sound disrespectful. I just mean that I would expect that level of skill elsewhere.
I see what you're saying. But you know, because at the they're same young time, and raw,
not
like
because
the
they're old
changed.
And they suck. They're young and raw talents that I'm not used to seeing the UFC cultivating that, which, as you said, is a downside of the, in my mind and yours, I think, of the Contender Series. Yeah. You get new stars, but you also get guys that are really like, it'll be years before they're ready to take on the top of the division.
Yeah.
And are these divisions deep enough to support that? I mean, maybe. I mean, there's guys like Alex Caceres make a career and never really get ranked, and they're still great, exciting fighters we all like to watch. But I don't know. It's tough to say, but yeah, surprised to see that fight of the night. But let's move on.
And then a person who got performance of the night also on the undercard, you had I'm sorry if I butchered this name, but Yurlos Medic, right?
That dude at 155,
he is a problem, bro. He's 155, what was he, 6 foot or something
he's
like that?
He's 6 foot tall, he's 7-0 now, he's got five KOs,
he
two subs.
He outstruck his opponent 55-0.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting, he trains out of Anchorage, Alaska by way of Serbia.
Yeah.
Which is, Anchorage is not really known as a fight town. I mean, I think its most famous fighter is that guy from Tough that used to choke everybody out.
Christoph Jocko or whatever, right?
No, the like the dude with the mullet and the tats.
Oh,
the
mullet.
The white dude. I can't remember his name. Cody McKenzie.
Oh, Cody McKenzie's from there? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's from Alaska. And he was a well-known, like, on the Tough Man circuits and the bar fight scene. He's got he had a ridiculous guillotine. One trick pony, but goddamn, that trick was nice. Holy fuck. I mean, he made a career in the UFC briefly off of basically this crazy standing guillotine.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's like the most famous guy I know out of Anchorage in Alaska as a whole. But whatever, this guy looks legit, dude.
Legit as fuck.
Like super, super legit. He seems good on the microphone.
Yeah, he was...
Like fluent English.
Crazy,
so
he didn't
that's
have any,
not gonna
any
be
real
a,
accent.
Yeah, you wouldn't
like
think he was like a...
Maybe he like grew up in Alaska.
I just put him to like be like Peter Yan, like a, you know. But
Well,
but man, that was a performance of the night for sure. He put the whooping on that motherfucker, dude. 48 or you said 55-0 punched out.
Yeah, 55-0.
Yeah,
it was fucking ridiculous.
Put a fucking whooping on.
Just
old
an
boy.
Ass
I watched that. I was like, God, man, I haven't seen a.
Well, here's the thing: is can he translate this as he rises up in the ranks? Is really going to be the question. You know what I mean?
Let's see, this is, we were just talking about the bad side of the Contender Series. That's where he's from, too. That's the good side of the Contender Series. That dude just came in and mauled UFC competition and looked like a world beater doing it. He didn't look raw and untalented. Like, what are you doing out
there? Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think that's going
to
happen over, like, you know, the
good
constant. When you have all these seasons of the Contender Series, you're going to constantly have all these people. Like, remember that one card? He signed, like, five guys off the card. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's going to be these situations where a lot of talent is influxed into the UFC, and some's going to turn out and some's not. But I do think what the UFC was talking about, where they're kind of starting to, like, we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, but how they're starting to thin out some of the older guys in the sport. I do think this Contender Series is a good thing for them, ultimately, like, in the long run. Like, maybe right now it's got some young guys and stuff like that, but I feel like that's where you're going to see the most talent come through at this point. Like, everyone's going to look to get up to that point instead of, like, remember before, like, kind of the route to the UFC was like, I got to get on Tough. Like, you know, like, if I get on Tough, I'm going to get signed to the UFC. I feel
like
this is... I
didn't mind that because it was a much smaller group.
Yeah.
That, admittedly, you did see some people with lower, like, 5-0, 2-0, but they had to go through a lot that didn't count for their record to get there. They had fights that were real fights that just don't count
on
their record.
Well, it's coming back. It's supposed to be happening, airing in June or something like that.
I like it. And I like the fact that the Contender Series is there. I don't know.
It's mixed results.
It's so many new fighters coming in. I just don't know if we really need that. But it is what it is. They're doing their thing.
Yeah.
But it is a good and a bad, like everything else. But
another guy on that undercard I did want to talk about as well is Sean Brady, who just beat the shit out of Jake Matthews. Like,
he did.
It was rough. Like, I thought
he subbed him with an arm triangle. Yeah, in round three after really dominating.
Well, and it was like, he just, every time he'd get on the feet, like the first round, it was like, okay, Matthews had some solid results when they were fighting on the feet, right? And then he just gets taken down and just has zero answer for him. Like, the dude is just like, when you talk about mauling people, like, he just gave Matthews nowhere to breathe, nowhere to move. Like, right. There was no hope in getting up ever in that in those sequences.
No, so, he was on that motherfucker from the start.
Yeah. So, welterweight, that's a big win, you know? So,
Jake Matthews is a good fighter. There was a time when he was the quote-unquote future of the division.
Exactly.
You know? And he's still solid.
Sean Brady is my person to watch for this year.
Sean Brady, your person to watch. He outstruck him, what, 37-21, gets the sub, 3 minutes, 28 seconds in round three.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good performance.
And there was just zero point of that fight where it really seemed like he was ever worried or ever, like, in trouble. Like, even in that little, like it was weird, like, little takedown punch, like, thing. It looked like he got knocked down at first, and everyone was like, oh, he got knocked him down, but it was like he wasn't hurt at all. So, and then he completely took over from there. Like, once it hit the ground, like, he just switched over, and then he was fucking done. It was like, you know what I mean? So, at welterweight, where it's filled with a lot of good wrestlers, I like this guy. Because his jiu-jitsu seems like it's fucking...
It seems on
point. Down pack. You know what I mean?
There's a fight that was drawing a little bit of controversy for something that happened in the cage that was the Tim Elliott fight and the Jordan Espinoza fight at 125.
Yeah.
And it's something that we never would have even noticed under normal circumstances.
I didn't hear it. It was freaking blurred. It was what's it called?
It was beeped out. Yeah, I heard it right up till the end where they managed to get it out. I think it just depending on the delay in your broadcasting, wherever you know your signal was coming in from, is how much of it you caught. Then I saw it later.
Well, I heard on ESPN Plus you heard it, but if you were watching on regular ESPN cable TV, you didn't hear it.
Yeah, I was watching on Plus.
Yeah.
And then later I saw, you know, a segment of video on Twitter that had the full exchange.
Yeah.
And Tim Elliott has said something to Jordan while... Well, first off, let's talk about the win. I mean, Tim Elliott handily beat him down.
Yeah.
It was, I mean...
Yeah.
Is it return to form for Elliott?
Another guy from...
Some up and down.
Contender Series, Jordan Espinosa.
Facing a tough fighter.
Yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah. True, I forgot about that.
You know, 25-13 on the strikes, but the biggest thing was the four takedowns.
Yeah.
By Tim Elliott, where he just mauled him. And he was doing a lot of, not dirty things. I don't mean
grimy.
It's not dirty fighting,
it's
but I
dirty,
refer to
but...
it as nasty fighting. Yeah. Like, he was taking his forearm and just grinding it against old boy's face while he was
like
on
those
top.
Strikes, like, don't count, but it matters when you're standing
like
on.
Just, dude, this is like... a tough bone. He's taking the bony part of his forearm and he's putting it on a dude's cheek and then just rubbing it up across
his
fucking face
and his nose.
He was
like murder choking him, too. Like, he was like standing up in his garden, he was like murder choking him, trying to punch him, dude.
Exactly.
Like, I was like,
he at one point, Elliott got a bit of a cut that just bled a lot because it was
on his
scalp.
Head because he kind of elbowed at the top.
Yeah,
the top
and so he took his bloody forehead and literally like bled made the
face.
Drips go into Jordan Espinosa's eyes and then rubbed the bloody part of his forehead all over Espinosa's eyes, all in the top position, which is all perfectly legal. Dude, it's a fucking fight, man.
Yeah.
And then he said something.
Yeah.
I can't remember the round, and it's not really important. I think it was
the
second round.
End of the second.
And we never would have heard this if there was a crowd.
Yeah.
But it's because of circumstance. But he says basically something to the effect to Tim Elliott says to Jordan Espinosa, so you like beating on women, do you? And then basically, I'm going to kick your ass. Espinosa says, you don't know the whole story. And Tim Elliott replied back, I know enough. And
they said, you don't know shit.
And he was like, you don't know shit.
Then the bell rang.
And then the bell rang. And this all happens while, like, Elliott is just beating him down. Like, he's talking about, you don't know shit, while he's, like, getting his forearm across his neck. It wasn't, like, a
Even
pleasant
the commentary
team
was like, whoa.
And they're like, yeah. Elliott later comes out and says he didn't mean for that to be heard. Like, he's, you know, he was like, it is what it is. Well, because he wanted to say it. And he wasn't like he was trying to get it on broadcast. His goal wasn't for everyone in the nation to hear what he was saying. It was between him and him. And the fight, dude, if you want to say something to a guy like that when you're beating his fucking ass, that's your prerogative. It's not his fault that there's no crowd and the mics are cranked up super fucking high.
Yeah,
and you can hear every fucking thing.
That is true.
People say shit all the time and people usually got to go back and play fucking mouth read, you know, to see what it is. But And our point here isn't to say whether these allegations are true. I mean, news comes out where there's a big old Facebook post I read. I mean, yeah. I read what the girl said, but there's some girl that accused Espinoza of choking her and provided photographs. Whatever that is, is what it is. To the point where Elliot was pissed off. They used to train together, so they knew each other. They're in the same gym. And he was like,
beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to put a beat down on someone who, in my mind, is a woman beater.
Yeah,
and so it was just it was something to see a man beating the hell of another man, and be like, so you like to beat women, and then just punching the shit out of him. Which, as a male who with a strong protective instinct, having a daughter, that's like a feeling I'm really like.
Yeah.
If I ever got the, you know, I mean, I don't want to lay guilt as shit I don't know nothing about, but if it's true, well, good job, Tim.
Yeah, I feel it.
And if it's not true, well, that sucks. We all heard it, and old boy's name got fucked up.
Drug in the dirt. Yeah, hopefully.
I just gotta say. I mean, usually in a case where a dude's response to a beating allegation is you don't know the whole story is not a good outcome. That's that's basically saying, well, I did it, but there was a good reason.
She made me do it.
And that's all I'm going to say about that. So
we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, just reporting what we've heard. Don't know any facts. Not making any... Yeah, but that was something you don't normally see in a fight. I mean, it's something to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
But I've always liked Tim Elliott. I thought he's a grimy motherfucker in the best possible compliment that is before this. And so, I like him now even more.
And then another fight that got a guy who got a performance of the night was Kai Kara France in his
another flyweight battle.
Yeah, in a fight against Rodrigo. I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher this. Bontorin? I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember how to say his name either. But Rodrigo Bontorin, I think is how you say it. Yeah. He was kind of winning that fight. Rodrigo looked good.
Dude, he was a fucking black belt in jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Had his back, had him done. Had the freaking body triangle, had it all set up. But you know what he fucked up was he didn't finish it. You can't sit in a body triangle for 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell them how long it was. Yeah, it was like, 3.5 minutes of a locked body triangle.
Yeah.
So what that means is...
fighting.
Explain that if people don't listen and can't picture what a body triangle is. You're on somebody's
back. Basically, you're on somebody's back, and you cross your legs, and you squeeze their body.
Yeah, you've got one leg crossed with your foot behind your knee.
Behind your knee,
so you've got a fulcrum point that you can then squeeze. So you've turned your lower body into a squeezing fulcrum of bone, basically.
Exactly, yeah. So you're squeezing his body, but you got to remember you're freaking tightening up your legs at the same time. So
basically all of your legs, pretty much. Yeah. All of your leg muscles.
Yeah, so you can't sit there for 3.5 minutes and not expect your muscles to just die off.
Yeah, while trying to choke somebody out, which
and
exerts
your
arm muscles.
It went all over the place, too. Got to the feet where he was on top, and then it was just a matter of time. Car France gets out with about a minute to go. Gets back on the feet, knocks him out.
See, for me,
left him flat-footed.
That should have been fight of the night.
He got,
and then the guy who fought against, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. Kennedy is his first name. Who fought against Carlos Umbro?
Yeah,
and won. He could have got performance night because he did, regardless of maybe some skill levels not being as high as I'd like to see. That was an amazing comeback. It was like statistically the greatest comeback.
He was
that he'd had. Like, if you look at the fight stats, it's 146 landed punches for Umbro to 82. Okay, in fucking 2 rounds.
Yeah.
Like he got really beat up a lot. It was an amazing comeback. I thought that's a performance of the night, where the Kai Kara France fight should have been fight of the night, in my opinion. Same money would have gone to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I guess except Umbro.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see my point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's losing, and then he comes back with just this... series of monster right hands. He goes with Kai Kara France.
Yeah.
He lands the overhand right to the ear, basically.
Walk off.
And then he does the uppercut right up the middle with the right. Dirty. So he goes overhand right. And then, so because of the velocity, he pulls back on the right, and then he follows that same velocity right up and turns it into an uppercut right.
Yeah.
And then he whips back around and throws another overhand right, which is just like this whipping motion again. Yeah. So he... boom, whips it down, and then whips it back across. Just that motion really added extra power, crack, and then walks off.
Walks off, but it was a weird stoppage, though. So
Herb Dean came in and didn't make it clear.
Wave it off, really. He, like, He like watched, like, okay, so basically Cara France walks off. And,
like, he pulled Cara France off, but he didn't do the fight waved off thing.
Yeah, no. He just kind of stepped in between and watched him. Yeah. And then Cara France comes back. It goes to lay fucking hammer fist down.
Yeah.
And then he's like, all right, get out of there.
And it wasn't Kaya Cara France's fault. Herbie didn't wave it off, so it wasn't clear. He thought old boy was recovering.
Yeah.
And then
he's like, fuck that.
Yeah, he's like, fuck that. He gets all mad.
Yeah, he throws his Bontorin
does, and then throws his mouthpiece at him, which because he thought he was coming back for a like a after the bell blow or something, which I see, but really
at first France it looked like that's what he was going for, but then when you watch the tape, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he was making sure that the fight
wave it off, like.
But those series of right hands and just the way that they were unfolded and his shot selection right there added extra velocity and extra power to those blows. It was really fucking sick.
You know what?
Like, that was my favorite knockout of the that was.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
As a striking, like, I'm a fan of striking. I just thought that was
well, and it was just such a turn of tides also. Like, it was like, it just looked like Cara France was about to drop to 2-3 in his first five in the UFC. And it's like.
And he's good.
He's a good fighter. He just has had, you know, his ups and downs. That, like, he's tough. And then he just completely turns it around. And now he's. You know, he's on his way. That's two in a row for him, I believe.
Yeah, I like that fight a lot. That was fucking really good shit, man.
So one thing I do want to talk about here is this card was filled with a lot of 125-pounders and 135-pounders that, like, these fights all really mattered for the division.
Yeah, it's a pretty consequential card.
Yeah.
I mean, even if the names weren't big, I mean, we haven't even talked about it. We had Joseph Benavidez against Askarov on there.
Yeah.
You know, the France, Bontorin fight, Elliott and Espinoza. And of course.
Yeah, we had Kyler Phillips versus Song Yadong, which is a good one as well.
35, right.
Yeah. Which ultimately saw Kyler Phillips able to kind of, you know, he was the first one that was ever kind of able to crack the puzzle for, like, Song Yadong. Because he's one of those guys who's so pressure forward and, you know, I feel like what Phillips really was able to do that was different from anyone else he ever fought was his ability to keep him at bay with his kicks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he threw some potential fight enders. Like, I do not understand how strong Song Yadong's chin is, bro. He hit him clean on the dome in the first round, and I was like, dude.
With that high kick?
And he didn't even move. He just kept coming forward.
He reminded me of the Korean zombie.
Yeah, it was rough.
Like, that level of, I mean, that's why, I mean, that's the whole reason he got his fucking nickname. Is he's going to take shots like that, and is he coming at
you? Dude, he just took it and just kept moving.
Yeah, that was
amazing. It was a close fight, though. Like, Song wasn't totally out of it by any means.
No, it was a close fight.
But Kyler was able to secure the win with some takedowns, you know.
It was a decision. The fight stats saw actually Song Yadong with 67 to Kyler Phillips 59, but fight stats aren't everything because there's three takedowns in there too.
Those three takedowns, and then also if you look at that, I bet you that he threw a lot more strikes.
Yeah, this isn't a point show. The strikes don't mean everything, but
because you know what, like, no matter if he's winning or losing the fight, Song's offense is always going to be moving forward and trying to walk you down. So he's always going to end up outstriking people. That's why his style is so hard to beat him on a freaking judge's scorecard. That's why we saw when he fought Chito Vera. Chito Vera did some of the grappling and stuff like that, but he just got outworked on the feet and the judges saw it another way. And I was almost kind of worried that was going to happen in this fight as well. Because, like, going to the cards, I was like, that he's lucky he got that last takedown. If he didn't get that last takedown, I think they were going to screw him.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
You know, just to round out the number of 25ers and 35ers on the card, we also saw Trevin Jones take on Mario Bautista and get an early KO 47 seconds in round
one. Yeah, that started the night off.
That was a banger. I mean, they both had like 20-something punches, 23, 21 punches.
Yeah.
But Jones gets that KO. So just highlighting a lot of the smaller weight classes. And of course, we have the title fight.
Well, of course,
at the top of the card.
Dom Cruz and Dominic Cruz and Casey Kane.
Yeah, they're on there as well, which you see Dom get a win.
I thought that was not that impressive, though. Like, he looked great. Like, he looked good, but I just feel like he should have won that fight. Like, it got close in the end, I feel like. Like, the first two rounds, Dom was able to, like, use his footwork and get away. But I thought in that third round that he was taking a lot of shots. Not to say, like, he was going to lose the fight or anything. I'm just saying that, like, I didn't like how, like, I feel like he slowed down a bit at the end of the third round. And he's going to think about, like I've said, I just don't understand. I don't know how serious he is about being a champion again.
He gets the decision. I mean, you want to talk about the stats. He had 2-0 on the takedowns, 89-74 cruise on the fight stats as far as punches overall.
That's
or
pretty
strikes
close,
overall,
though.
Excuse me.
84-79.
You know, it wasn't a dramatic ass whooping. I thought he clearly won the fight. I thought he looked pretty good. He's never been much of a power puncher.
That's
you know,
true.
Like, it'd been, if he had that power,
yeah. Well, he'd I'm not even looking for him to finish him. I just feel like he was hittable for this, like I've seen a lot of times Dominic Cruz at his best is an unhittable kind of guy.
Yeah.
And it seemed like early in the fight that was the case. But as the fight progressed, he became more and more hittable. And I don't think that's like I said, this freaking 135 pound like division is a fucking shark tank from top to bottom.
Well, I think you're right, Paul, but I think you're right. He became more hittable, but I honestly attribute more of that to the difficulty of doing what Dominic Cruz does in that tiny ass little apex cage.
You think so?
Yeah, like if he moves all over the place, and when you're shrinking that by so much square footage, it has a dramatic effect. I think.
But
I'd like to see if that was the big cage, like it should always be. I don't even understand why this is a fucking thing.
Here's the thing, though. But I feel like the same thing happened when he fought Cejudo, though. I feel like early in the fight, he looked unhittable. But as the fight progressed, Cejudo's just started hitting him way more than he should have.
Yeah, I agree there, too. And I think that that's a natural progression for any fighter, okay? You're going to be more hittable in the third round, especially for movement heavy. But that was also against Henry fucking Cejudo.
Yeah, true.
Did that go three rounds?
I think so, yeah, three
rounds. I don't recall.
I think he finished him in the third, I believe. Or the second, maybe. I don't know. Could be wrong. But either way, Dom's back on track. His first win since 2016.
We had a weird call-out. He doesn't seem interested in the belt. He starts calling out some monster energy.
Hans Mongkamp.
Yeah, some dude. I'm sure right now with all the searches, if you just Google Hans, his name comes up. But he seems to just be some fighter. He works for Monster, and he has some interaction with fighters. And it seems like he likes to post a lot of fucking photos and try to. And Dominic accused him of trying to use fighters for fucking clout on social media.
Yeah.
And try to make it seem like if they didn't pose for pictures with him and do shit, that he would hurt their.
He'd withhold their, like, their money. Opportunities.
He'd fuck with their bottom line in cash.
Yeah.
In order to gain personal fucking shit. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems like a lot of fighters have that complaint.
Dana White.
The point where fucking Dominic Cruz is calling him out for a charity fight. A dude that outweighs him by 100 pounds but probably don't know shit. He seems to know a little bit about fighting, but he ain't no Dominic motherfucking
Cruz. He said
he's had
two MMA fights, I guess.
Well, if he was good, he wouldn't be working at Monster Energy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, he's probably good enough to fuck somebody up in the bar.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not...
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird situation because, like...
Indeed.
It's... I wonder...
And Dominic Cruz is not a guy who is known for coming out... I mean, he does talk shit in a fight, but he's not really known to be, like, with citizens and people, like, in the media. I've never heard him say anything like that to someone that wasn't a fighter who he had signed a dotted line to fight against. So, I don't know. That was interesting, though. But he doesn't seem interested in a belt. Why would you call out some guy you can't even fight for anything other than charity? It's not named Connor. Right?
True.
I mean, I don't know.
It's stupid.
I don't really want to see him go up for the belt. I'm not interested in it, man.
Dude, like I said, 135 is such a shark tank. I don't want to see how his career ends fighting these guys. Like, these guys are animals.
Yeah.
Look at guys like Song Yadong and Kyler Phillips are the, like, young guys who are not barely even ranked in this division. And those two guys are fucking animals.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking animals.
Dude, you're so right. I don't know what to... I just don't know what to think of his career right now.
I just feel like it's coming down to a close. I think this would be it's going to sound kind of fucked up, but this would kind of be like the perfect way to kind of like drift off into the sunset quietly. You know what I mean? Because Dominic Cruz is the kind of guy I feel like he'll ever actually like retire. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's going to be one of those guys who's like, yeah, I'm not going to fight for a while. Like, and I feel like he'll fight again when he's like 40 or something like that. You know,
it's
what I mean?
So tough
he's
to
one
say.
Of those guys.
I don't know what to make of it. I guess I'm a little interested in seeing what comes next.
Well, he has so much shit going on outside the cage as well as like with his doing UFC commentary and stuff like that. That he doesn't really need to fight either.
No, maybe
so
he just
like,
needs to or wants to go out on a win.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe he wanted to just right that wrong. He's had such a legendary career and ultimately only lost, what, three or four times?
He's
no,
only
three
lost
times.
Two.
No, three.
Three. Lost yeah, three to, times. Yeah, 17 and three.
Total. And it's like, that's fucking, that's nuts. And maybe he just wanted to right that wrong.
Yeah, and to the best of the best is who he lost to.
Yeah,
top.
Exactly.
You can't get any more top tier than his losses, really.
No,
so.
No. Yeah.
Nothing
all
left to prove in the game.
All, he's lost, all his losses are in championship fights.
I don't want to see him fight, no disrespect to Kenny, but in case of Kenny, I don't want to see them fighting guys like that for the next couple of years. It's just not necessary.
Kenny, on the other side, I feel like his stock rose a little bit from that fight because I feel like he showed that he was – he's like – he hung with Dominic Cruz. You know what I mean?
He's still talented, Dominic Cruz. Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, I need to hit this ball.
Obviously, everyone wants to win, but, you know, you got to look on the bright side sometimes.
Well, let's move up to the main card here, right? I mean, that kind of covers a lot of the basics on there. Good fights overall.
Yeah.
I'm still find it tough to be paying $70 for these pay-per-views, but whatever.
Yeah, it is what it is.
I mean, all these were undercard fights anyway, so they weren't technically what you pay for.
Yeah.
And that part, the free fights were great.
Yeah.
Main card was good, too. It's just, wow, $70. But
yeah,
okay.
Well, I didn't really like the first fight of the card.
The Islam Makhachev versus Drew Dober fight opened up the card. 155-pounder.
Nah, the first fight was
Well, I guess Santos and Rakic. I'm sorry, you're right.
It was terrible. It was a freaking stand in front of you, dodge your feints kind of fight.
I didn't like any of that fight at all. Yeah, I mean, we saw the decision go to Rakic.
Yeah.
You know, who landed a whopping 36 punches over
three rounds.
For
some reason, he got his brown belt after the fight, too.
Yeah, did no takedowns, no jiu-jitsu, and his coach ran in and gave him his brown belt for landing 36 strikes in three rounds on Thiago Santos. I mean, congrats, I guess. Yeah. I assume it's for what you did a whole lot of work prior to that.
Yeah, it was not a very good fight, though.
No, that was a stinker, as
He's
they say.
He's a big motherfucker, though.
He is a big guy, because Santos is...
He's...
Not small. I mean, neither can from 85,
I mean,
but he ain't small.
Ultimately, after he'll be ranked third after this weekend.
I don't know if that knee surgery fucked Thiago Santos up or what. His movement didn't look right.
Well, here's my question to you about Thiago Santos. Did that knee surgery fuck him up? Or did Thiago Santos strike when the iron was hot in his career, put together a string of wins, get a title shot, and now he's kind of back to where he was in his career before? He's a good fighter. But he's not championship level.
Look, I could throw a theory out there that sounds like I'm swinging from some particular fighter's nuts here.
Yeah.
But I think that you could arguably start to make a case for the problem with both Thiago Santos and John Jones is when they fought that guy, that was the pinnacle of that was the best they're ever going to do, and that took too much out of them. John Jones took too much out of them that afterwards they weren't ever the same.
Yeah, but I'm
not saying that's
what
happened here. Yeah. I'm just saying you can start to at least entertain that thought, because what happened to Dominic Reyes?
Yeah.
He runs into Jan.
Fucked him up too.
Yeah, but he didn't look good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then now we've got Santos, who he has a surgery, comes back, and then it's like, oh, that might have.
Anthony Lionheart Smith does not look very good either.
Anthony Lionheart Smith. Like, you have these moments where you do good against the champ, but you still wind up getting your ass kicked. And you lose, and maybe that's took too much out of you. It's a theory.
Yeah, but this is kind of what we saw from Thiago at 185, though. Because remember, at 185, he put like four or five together, and then he ran into Gegard. Gegard knocks him out. Then he loses three at 185, moves up to 205, wins four in a row, gets the John fight. Then
he
loses
the
John
fight.
Yeah, he did great. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying.
Well, me neither.
I feel like he had a everybody has a fucking time. Like, you know, like,
right.
Like whether it be your peak or whether it be your prime, or depending on the athlete, it's either a set of years or a short period in time where they have to strike when the iron's hot. And I just feel like Thiago Santos is more of a situation where he was, what, 34 when he, like, when he went moved up to light heavyweight?
Yeah,
he's now, what,
37,
38? He's getting older. His body naturally is not going to heal the same way. The surgeries definitely matter. And then, like, I just feel like
the
it's,
mental wear and tear matters. I mean, the same argument can be made for Conor McGregor. Like when you,
well, yeah, it's
maybe
every
not
fighter
to the
has,
level of Conor yeah. and his level of focus, but like Santos moved up, right? Like yeah. he tried and he failed, and then he's like, "I'm going to move up," and then
he did it
great,
the right way. He did
and
it the
then
right
he got
way.
There, and then he came up short, however close it was. Yeah. But then that's tough to just be like, well, "Okay, I'll get there again." Really?
Yeah.
At 30, will you? I mean, you know you're 38. You know how you feel after a training fucking session.
Yep.
You know how you just went through these surgeries. I'm not saying it's weak or anything. I'm just saying it's yeah. a natural thing that happens. It's
and freaking Rockets is what, 27 or something?
Tough to
26?
Get that drive
like
back the same when you get there and don't quite achieve it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I know, dude. I mean, not to that level, but I tasted it a little bit, dude. I fought
well, everyone does
my way
life.
All the way up
yeah.
through the Golden Gloves to the fucking title shit, and then I fucking lost in front of, like, all my friends and family and fucking, like, 6,000 people.
Yeah.
And it fucking sucked. It wasn't the end of the world. I mean, it's just Golden Gloves.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say I'm like these guys. I'm just saying that little – I got a little taste of that.
Yeah.
That shit sucked,
yeah,
man.
It's – losing sucks.
You know, and I'd lost fights before that, but I'm saying, like, the gold – when you're an amateur, unless you're going to go to the Olympics, the Golden Gloves is pretty
yeah.
It's, yeah. it's like if you want to make something of yourself, you need to be winning these Golden Gloves titles. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And at the time, I was, it's, you know, it is what it is. And imagine doing that forever because everybody tastes defeat and you do it over
yeah.
and over. But then you get to the highest point of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a tough one to keep
it's tough
coming
to,
back from, especially
yeah,
as you get older.
Back
you
over
know?
And over.
You're not 16 with your whole life in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, you're 38 and already moved up a class.
And have fought, has a lot of fights.
That's
on
what
record.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
So. You know,
I like Thiago, but I don't know how much longer he's going to be contending for the belt is basically what I'm saying.
Me neither. Weird division right now, but we'll see. Jan's fucking going to rule it with an iron fist for a
yeah,
minute.
Yeah,
Jan
looks
but
fucking
we'll get to fucking
yeah.
Jan. Jan,
then,
the most
underestimated
man in the big boys.
So, and then moving on, we looks like we might have a lightweight contender in Oof. Islam Makhachev. His absolute domination of Drew Dober. Leading to a submission in the third round.
I'm sorry, I'm making disgusted noises. dude, the guy is a hell
it's
of a talent,
Khabib
man.
Just Khabib
Jr. But I, the same reason, like, Khabib's a hell of a guy, too, as far as in that cage. But I can't stand watching that style of fight. I don't, like, he won the fight. He kicked that dude's ass. But here's this illustrates my point 100%. It was a mauling. There was no yeah. question who won that fight, okay? I mean, if you take away the triangle prior, I'm saying prior to that, it was no question who was winning the fight. And yet the fight goes into the third round and he landed 15 total strikes to Drew Dober's 10. That's what I mean. Because the whole fight was him just in top control, moving around, being dominant.
Yeah.
Which is a skill that I respect, but as a fan, I don't like watching it. And so I made disgusted noises because he looks legit, dude. Like, I think he's going to go cause some damage to these.
He's calling out Tony Ferguson next.
I think he might win that fight.
You think so?
I think he might.
See, I think the only problem he's going to run into is I don't think he's on the same level as Khabib was on the feet.
I don't know. That used to be Khabib's biggest criticism, but he was better than everybody thought on the feet.
But you know what I'm saying? Like
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to judge it when you throw and you land 15 yeah. fucking punches when you could have landed 600. I
yeah.
swear to God.
Yeah,
like, he was so dominant in position, but just no
fucking well, that's
punching,
the thing.
Man.
I feel like that's the difference between him and Khabib.
Fuck.
Khabib had, like, that style where he was going to beat the shit out of you and make you quit. I feel like Islam is more like, I'm going to take you down and look for a submission, and if I get it, I get it. But if I don't, I'm controlling you for the whole round.
Yeah, it's dominant, and it's an amazing skill that I respect, but I really don't like watching it. But that dude looks legit. He's going to fight somebody good. I mean, he was calling for a big name before this. I was surprised he fought Drew Dober, but
yeah, I was too.
It was incredibly dominant.
It made no sense.
Oh.
So, yeah. Then moving on to the bantamweight title fight. So, a lot of controversy here. So
Aljamain Sterling fighting Petra Yan.
Yeah, so for people who didn't see... Basically, how the fight breaks down is Aljamain comes out hot, throwing a lot of strikes in the first round.
Very
but gets
high volume.
High volume, but then ends up getting caught by Jan and getting dropped.
Yeah, dropped, not knocked out or anything, but he does get dropped.
Yeah, it was dropped, and he wasn't really hurt. He just, like, got put on his
he
ass.
Got put on his butt.
Popped right back up, same thing. So Jan ends up winning the first round. Second round, I feel like, is where Aljo, he looked a little tired. Like, it's where he started to get a little tired. And so he comes out, and he tries to wrestle Jan a lot, and Jan's just not really. Jan's got some great takedown defense. I believe he was something like 1 of 10 on his takedowns.
He wasn't 1 of 10. He wound up 7 of 7 on the fight.
I'm talking about Aljo.
Oh, Aljo, yeah, Aljo went. Yeah, he was about 1 of 10. Yeah,
1 of 10 in the second round. Yeah. And then
he landed 5% of his takedown attempts.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. But here's the thing: is I felt like it was like Aljo was trying to push the pace, thinking that Jan was gonna like go super fast. And, like, Jan didn't really match that pace. He was, like, he was more willing to sit there in the pocket, let him go crazy, let him land, like, close to half his strikes, but weather the storm and try to take him out late.
Well, let's give the big picture first, and then let's dive into the details. So we've got, basically, to set the scene, we've got Aljamain coming out strong, and then seeming to fade a little bit, but then the controversy happens, which is... Aljamain Sterling is a down fighter. By that, we mean he's got one knee on the ground and one knee almost sort of on the ground, I do believe. Was it both on the ground?
It was one knee down and the
he's
other one.
He's kneeling in front of Petr Jan, who, and the referee says he's down, which means you cannot knee somebody to the face. Petr Jan pushes Sterling's head down, touches him with his own head, and then... unleashes this monster, completely illegal and 100% intentional, monster fucking knee to Aljamain Sterling's face, who then, to make a long story short, because we'll get into the details in a minute, he ultimately gets laid the fuck out, he can't continue, and he wins the belt by disqualification. Now, that's the ultimate ending. Let's circle back into, because there's controversy here,
On both sides.
Yes. as far as... the statistics up till that point, you had, let's talk about Sterling. He is 1 of 17 on takedown attempts. Okay, 1 of 17
in the fight. Yeah,
in the fight up till then, where Petr Jan was 7 of 7. But now here's the interesting, because people might say, "Oh wow, look at that!" But here's the important part: a takedown really doesn't mean much if you don't have control time. Okay,
I'm going to tell you something. As a wrestler, when I see this, this makes me mad.
The control time for Petr Jan on those 7 of 7 takedowns over the course of the fight was a grand total of 4 minutes and 12 seconds. For Aljamain Sterling, his control time for the 1 of 17 was 3 minutes and 25 seconds. That's a significant and important takedown.
And he had a reversal too.
Yeah. Versus, you know, you divide 7 into 41. He's down for a little, 10 seconds here, 20 seconds there, and he's popping back up versus minutes of control.
Well, I think this is where the knee ended up getting into the fight, because what was happening in the fight was he probably took him down more than 7 times, but what was happening was late in the fight when Aljo was tired, he was doing these trips and he wouldn't finish him.
Yeah, so there was a lot of trips in there too. Yeah, and with the strikes, it was 119, 103 for Sterling total. Yeah.
So
to that point,
I feel like because he was so active, it was almost to a detriment.
Yeah, he seems to have had a little bit of an adrenaline dump and too much action is the main criticism he's getting here.
Yeah.
Petr Jan,
he landed some good shots.
Becomes the first UFC fighter champion to ever lose his belt versus for disqualification.
Yeah.
And there's more controversy here because of the world that we live in. Everybody's going to go voice their opinion and go talk shit on either fighter's Twitter account and et cetera. And we've got people literally accusing Sterling of acting. I think that there's certain things that are facts here, and then everything else is open to interpretation. I think the facts are that was a monster knee. Can we all agree? Yeah. Folks listening, it's all over YouTube. It's all over Twitter. Wherever you are, you can Google it. You can see it for yourself. Mm-hmm. It is a ridiculous shot.
Yeah.
Directly to the head.
Yeah.
Like, and there's people literally saying Aljamain Sterling is faking the injury and the fact that he can't continue, which I think is ridiculous.
Here's what I think people are failing to realize is, yes, the knee is brutally illegal, but it's not the only factor in reasoning why they stopped the fight. They brought a doctor in. It wasn't Aljamain Sterling who said, "Hey coach, if I go down, do I win the belt?" No, a doctor came in and deemed him unable to continue.
Yeah. Like compared to the Diego Sanchez situation where he literally asked, If I say I can't continue, do I win? And it was told yes, and then he was like, okay, all right, well, I can't continue.
Yeah.
And then you can make some criticisms there or not. But Aljamain Sterling was rolling around on the fucking ground in a daze from a monster fucking shot.
And here's the thing. I think, yes, that shot was monstrous. But he also was completely exhausted.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Like, there was other factors that people, like they're trying to pretend like those factors mean that he was faking it. No. Just because he was completely fatigued, he also got hit with the knee, that means he's compromised. Like, an illegal knee, maybe he was compromised before the illegal knee, but the illegal knee put the cherry on top and ended the fight. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like,
I don't get the criticism. I think he has done some things afterwards that if you wish to criticize, you can. But to say that he was faking there, I think is absurd.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
The main thing that they say, they being the internet, seems to be as a rule saying, well, look, he did this interview afterwards and he posted pictures all over. Well, he didn't have an opportunity to continue the fight 20, 30, 40 minutes fucking later, two hours later, 6 hours later. He didn't have a chance to. Can you continue the fight right fucking now?
Yeah.
And yes, the effects are going to be much less minutes and hours later. That doesn't. So?
Yeah.
That has anything to do, it has to do with the right then and the right there. Well, where he was like, how could you say he wasn't compromised?
Yeah.
That's like saying some guy's fine from a monster nut shot after 10 seconds. We all know you're not.
Yeah.
You might be tough as fuck.
It's the difference between a TKO and a KO. How many times, similar to earlier, we saw in the earlier card, do you think Carlos Ulberg, you think he's concussed? Probably not. He probably was so tired, he took very small amounts of power to knock him out. Same thing. Aljamain Sterling was completely exhausted. So a knee that is strong is going to knock him out.
Well, here's the thing. You know what I'm saying? I have the answer to everybody who says that bullshit. This is the deciding factor as to whether or not he was acting or not. And anybody tell me I'm wrong. It's just occurred to me right here and now. If the knee had been legal, would the referee have ended the fight, Paul? The way Sterling got laid out. Was that fight over?
Yeah.
Yes. How could you argue that he lands that knee and it's legal?
If that's a legal knee, that's a knockout. Straight.
Clearly.
100%. Yeah.
So if that's a legal knee, if he didn't land it because it's a fucking knockout, then clearly he is too compromised to continue if it was an illegal knee.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. 100%. Here's the thing, too. It's 100%. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You are right there because, honestly, that's what it came down to was the doctor deemed that he was just like, he was done. You know, it was over. It doesn't mean that. That's what I'm saying is like, people don't understand. Like, people recover. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he 100%. Was, I think exhaustion had a big part of why he was deemed compromised as well.
Makes it easier to get knocked out if you got your guard up, let alone if you're just sitting there.
Yeah.
You know.
Either way, they're going to run it back. But here's what I think. So there's been some conflicting reports. There's been reports that Peter Yan was told by his corner by Khabib Nurmagomedov supposedly said this, who was sitting cage side. He said that he asked his corner when he was standing there, can I hit him here? And they said yes, and then he blasted him. After the fight, Yan comes out and says, no, I didn't ask them. I did it on my own will. I think he's also, you know, kind of covering for his boys, but at the same time,
I think he's manning up for his own actions and not shifting blame, which I totally respect because I think that probably did happen and he did do it, but he's just like, nah, it's not me.
But at the same time, how are you UFC champion and you were questioning the fucking rules?
You're for real. Like, I mean, and I think part of this, you might, if you want to get mad at people, get mad at Nevada, who has this weird hybrid rule system where they're using part of the old rules and part of the new rules.
Even that,
you should still know.
I mean, here's the thing, though. Everyone knows. There's
the ref
three
stands in the back and tells them.
There's three fundamental rules in the UFC. Don't poke a motherfucker in the eye. Don't kick him in the nuts. And don't
knee a downed opponent.
Fucking knee him when he's on the ground.
Yeah.
Or kick him in the head while he's on the ground. Yeah. It's easy. And he almost kicked Aljamain in the fucking head on the ground, too.
He fucking tried
to foot stomp him, and Aljo moved out of the way. He would have landed it right on his fucking jaw.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't.
Like,
100%. And if you don't like the rule, you don't like it, that's not Aljamain Sterling. Or if you think he was, I've heard that he was stalling, so.
Yeah, that's what Mighty Mouse came out and said. He tried to say, well, if a man's stalling in a fight, that should be a legal knee. Hey, asshole, it's not his fault. He wasn't stalling the fight. If Peter Yan wants him to be stood up, step back, step away, and tell the ref to stand him up. Because he did that plenty of times in the fight, and I think a big part of that knee was people are like, was it a did he mean to do it on purpose or not? I think he did 100%. I think that knee is a product of frustration. He was frustrated as fuck. You could tell because he kept doing those trips, and Aljo, instead of like coming back up, he'd just lay in his guard and be like, come on down. Because he believes in his jiu-jitsu, and he was tired as fuck. And he knows if he goes, if he, what's one thing that's always like muscle memory is always grappling. Like when you're tired, it's hard to throw strikes. It's hard to throw big kicks and stuff like that. But when you're, although wrestling and jiu-jitsu take a lot out of you, there's a lot of muscle memory that comes into it that if Peter would have followed him to the ground, who knows what happens. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So he kept not engaging, not engaging, not engaging. And I think it severely frustrated him because he just obviously ends up hitting him with that knee.
It was clearly not accidental. Aljamain was, I mean, if you buy the stalling argument, why would you say that? Because he was in that position for a minute there. Not a full minute. I'm just, he's in there for a few moments.
Yeah, about 20 seconds or something.
So, like, I mean, it was obvious.
Yeah. And he was stalling, but it's not, here's the thing.
Also,
it's
he was
not
fighting by the rules
though.
And using them to his advantage, and that's something he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah,
that's,
it's not up to him.
I respect the hell out of Mighty Mouse, but that's dumb. That's stupid.
And if he feels that way, step back and have the ref stand him up. Simple as that. Yeah. You know the rules as well. And if that's another thing, another story that came out was Peter Yan was confused by the rules because the ref had came into the locker room before the fight and wasn't as much talking about knee to knee, but was more talking about whether they had a hand on the ground or not. And he thought that because Aljo didn't have any hands on the ground, that he wasn't grounded.
So he didn't hear the third person in the ring in the dead silent arena yell grounded?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
After he told
you know
him,
what I'm
I, will,
said,
I will say grounded.
Trying to say he got confused. It's like, I don't believe
dude, just
that
own
shit.
It, man. Just own it.
Shit happens.
So then afterwards, you know, there's even more controversy. That doesn't even end the controversy with this right there. Because afterwards, things happen after a fucking fight.
Yeah.
Right? Winning fighters have fucking parties. Losing fighters sometimes go to have after parties as well.
Yeah.
There's fans. People want pictures. You got Sterling in the ring, didn't want the belt. Like, he threw it down. I respected that. He didn't really win the belt so much as Jan lost it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get technical. It is what it is. Whatever. He's the champ now.
Yeah.
But not because he beat the guy who is the champ.
Yeah.
Jan beat himself.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can say Aljo didn't beat him, but Jan damn sure didn't deserve to have the belt when he left.
Jan lost.
Yeah.
It's just, he didn't lose to Aljamain.
Lost
I mean,
himself.
He did. You see what we're trying to say here.
Yeah.
It's fucking semantics. But, you know, then these pictures hit social media where you've got Aljamain with the belt out in public and taking photos and doing things where he's getting some criticism now, which I feel it. I understand it. If I was Aljamain Sterling, I don't know if I would be bringing the belt with me. I would keep that same energy where I left it in the cage.
Yeah.
I don't think your fans are going to be too upset if the belt's not with you because everybody knows what happened here.
But what the fuck's he supposed to
do? What you
to
want,
do?
Man. Do like, what you fucking do what you want.
You know what I mean, though? What the fuck's he supposed to do, though? He is champion of the world now. Like, you know how much promotional press comes around you that you are now the champion of the world? I get what happened, and I get...
It's not his like, fault with the fucking knee land.
You know what I mean, though? Like, he needs to use that belt to level himself up, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's where I feel like Peter Yan is going to be hurt the most in this fight, is now he's the B-side of this rematch. And...
Yeah, because you're right. What you said right there is true. Before you dive into the B-side, let's talk about you just said how Sterling needs to use this belt to his advantage. Is it... I mean, let's take their side, the critics.
Yeah.
So in their mind, should he really, if you play this out, he should not use the promotional tool that he has in order to get more money and fame.
That's what I'm saying, exactly.
Because Peter Yan cheated, Aljamain Sterling should not use the belt to gain fame and more money.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Because the initial thing is to criticize. I admit, I don't like the look when you see him with the belt out there. It's like, yeah, really? But at the same time, okay, so Yan cheated and now I can't get a fucking viral shit. I can't get an interview on some fucking show. I can't try to make more money.
He will be
with this
champion
belt.
Of the world forever. He'll be forever etched into history as
yeah, they're always
the champion
say
of
it.
The world.
He is the champ now.
Yeah.
It's not his fucking fault. He didn't act. Once you remove that from the equation, which I think I successfully did by saying, would the fight have been stopped?
Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen in
so
wrestling all
there you
the
go.
Time. If you're using an illegal move to win the match, that's cheating.
You might not like seeing him with that belt on social media. Then go get mad at Peter Yan. You can't, or Petra. Whatever. I don't disrespect. I love the dude. But the could come out of him who blatantly cheated and became the first champ ever to lose his belt via disqualification in the UFC. Don't get mad at the guy who literally did absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Just got kneed in the head. Well, and here's the thing. This is where we get into the sketchy waters. So then later on, there's pictures that are released of Henry Cejudo and Aljamain Sterling running into each other at the club and doing a face-off and talking about if Peter Yan wants to wait too long, we can run it. It's like
Cejudo, who was talking mad shit earlier, he even accused Aljamain of acting. Then he took it, he walked it all back. Actually, apologized, said he was just talking shit. Weird. I didn't mean it. I was just whatever. Which is good because I respect that. I give fucking Cejudo a lot of shit with his antics on social media, but I respect that, dude.
It's like I heard Sandhagen say on Joe Rogan. He was talking about, he's like, Cejudo's gotten way better at being cringy, but not ruining his brand. Yeah, like, he's better. Like, he's still cringy now, but he's not saying, like, stupid, egregious shit where people are like, dude, shut the fuck up. Right. Like, you know what I mean? Now he just says corny-ass shit where it's like, oh,
I don't think this
ha.
Is anything other dude. Than... Than them trying to get some fucking social media bump off of it. That's,
did you see?
That's what I think.
Did you see what I think it was Corey Sandhagen said, or somebody, one of the bantamweights said under that post with Henry and fucking Aljamain? They're
no.
Like, they said, Cejudo, you retired the same time as Khabib. How many interviews has Dana had to ask you to come back?
Oh, damn. That's funny.
I was like, oh,
That's funny.
That's fucked up.
You want to hit this ball
right
here?
Any meetings, I guess, whatever.
Yeah, there's no meetings for Cejudo to come back. Double champ, champ. That is funny.
Yeah.
That's funny because it's true, Paul. That's funny.
It's fucked up.
Well, obviously the fight to make is the rematch. That's what's going to happen. And I think that, you know, we should move on to the next fight on the card, which was another championship fight, which about went as I expected. I think you expected. I think anybody but the biggest Megan Anderson fans around expected, which was a dominant performance by Amanda Nunes defending her title. She won by submission by a super nasty armbar at 212 after landing 18-2 on the punches.
Yep.
Not only was it an armbar, but she had one of those aforementioned triangles. We were talking about those body locks.
Inverted triangle. Like,
yeah, she had a body lock, but it was not down around the waist like in the prior fight, the Kia Car, the Car France fight we were talking about. Yeah. This was up underneath Megan's armpits, basically, and wrapped right around her lungs. It was nasty. And then she armbarred her after that.
Yeah.
Those big long arms of Megan's. It was short work for the champ, who looked just devastatingly.
And
powerful.
Now they're talking about turning it around 2 months from now and fighting Juliana Pena for the 135.
Yeah, she could do that. And
she wants to do it. She's the one who Dana said after
like
in the post fight that he came over to her, talked to her about it. She said she's down.
Do it.
2 months.
I'm on board. Pena's tough. I don't think she's tough
she
enough
lost
to beat
the,
Nunes.
Well, she lost the Holly fight, which was going to be going to be the title eliminator.
Yeah.
Which who would have wanted to see Amanda Holly too?
No. Oh Jesus! I mean, I love Holly Holm. I don't want to see her fight Amanda Nunes again at all. Yeah. So I'm behind. I didn't know that.
Down,
that's brand new information to me.
Yeah, I'm down for the Pena fight though.
I like it.
I like Pena.
She's tough, dude. She is, I'll give her that, dude. Juliana Pena is tough as
she's
nails.
She's from tough
man.
Too.
She's the Ronda Rousey season.
Yeah. She won that shit, didn't she?
I'm pretty sure.
I think she did.
I don't care for her microphone personality so much.
Yeah, she's a little cringy, too.
But whatever. She backs it up, dude.
Yeah.
She's very tough. So I like that fight for Amanda, who just cemented her position. You know, Megan's a former Invicta champ.
Yeah.
It just adds yet another lineal title. I don't know if she lost it in there or not. It might have added another lineal title for Amanda, but it's short work of a talented fighter.
Yeah, true. Here's the thing, though. So now, after the fight, Dana's asked, what is really the future of 145? You have Felicia Spencer coming up to fight. That's like the only fight that you have scheduled for the 145-pound class. Like, is that the end of this division? And he more or less said that he will keep this division open as long as Amanda wants to fight. It
doesn't cost them anything. They don't even put rankings up. There's zero promotion needed because they don't need to talk about it ever. All they got to do is schedule a couple fights so there's a contender. What's somebody got to win? two fights max to get to Amanda at 45.
True.
Maybe even one if you have some kind of name and you come in and beat somebody. If Holly goes up to 45 for a fight and you beat her, there you go.
Something like that.
You could literally walk into the UFC, beat Holly Holm at 45 and get a title shot. Not that that's easy to do.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. There's not a big road.
That's the pathway. Yeah.
I mean, Kayla Harrison's at 45 right now, isn't she?
Yeah, but how?
I mean, she's tied into PFL.
I don't. Yeah, I just don't know whenever she's going to be able to get over.
I don't think that'll happen, but I mean, theoretically, it could.
Yeah, I feel you.
You know, they could keep it around so they could bring in people like her.
Yeah.
For one-offs, who knows? Not Amanda's fault. Another amazing performance. Cute fucking kid. She trotted out there.
Yep. She's all. She's the little cub.
I remember them days when my daughter was that little. Those are fucking things. Those are special times. That's cool. Good for her, man.
Yeah, I'm just going to say something right now from the lead up of the fight that I just hope and hope and hope is not true. I saw Amanda Nunes wearing her wrestling shoes outside, like walking around, like walking to
her
workout.
Isn't that like a big no-no in the wrestling community?
You don't do that shit. You're tracking
like you don't
in
wear
bullshit.
Your fucking boxing shoes.
You're tracking in bullshit.
Outside either.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the same concept. I don't.
Yeah, hopefully that was just like, hopefully that was just them like, hey, let's get a shot of you jumping out of your car and just walking in and working out. Like, hopefully it was one of those, because it made me cringe. I was like, stop.
Can't be doing that.
Stop. All right, so let's
get the nuances they might not know because they don't wear fucking shoes, you know, in the fucking cage.
Yeah, true. So let's move on to the main event.
Well, the main event was the 205-pound title showdown between 85-pound champ Israel Adesanya and current champ Jan Blachowicz.
Yeah.
The legendary Polish power.
Yep.
And, man, you know, this was the Israel Adesanya show leading up to this. I mean, Jan's been completely overlooked. I think, you know, I don't think it's – can't argue that. I mean, at the pre-fight press conference, he got a grand total of two questions. He was the betting underdog. We talked last week about we were going to find out about the size differential. And I guess we did, because Jan won that fight by decision. He outstruck him. He manhandled him on the ground. It was fairly close in the beginning, but the last two rounds.
I don't think he outstruck him. Like, maybe on the numbers he outstruck him.
Yeah, 107 to 78.
Yeah. But maybe on the numbers, but, like, watching the fight, I think Izzy landed the better strikes.
Well, it was top-heavy. Yeah. I mean, like, in the early rounds, Izzy was, if you looked at the numbers,
it was a tale of two freaking complete different fights. Like, if the first three rounds was one fight, and then the championship rounds was all Jan. Like, the first three rounds is where this fight had to be scored. The two, four and five were no doubt Jan won those rounds.
Yeah,
it all comes down to how you scored the first three rounds.
Yeah, it is really.
And they all were very close.
I don't think it was a controversial decision, like the outcome, but I think the scoring numbers were a little fucking silly, but it didn't affect the outcome that it was supposed to have happened. I mean, I thought it was a clear win for Jan. I think that if there had been another, if he'd got that takedown in the fifth round sooner, then I think it would have been a TKO and the ref would have stopped it. Well, he ended in full mount on Izzy, just raining down blows. And there was the clear size difference.
Yeah, I think
not
the
only
size
on the scales.
Matter,
I mean, Izzy clocked in at 200 pounds. Jan was at 205, obviously, but Jan was a good 225. He said afterwards 230, and it was obvious who was bigger. I mean,
here's the thing.
Look
too,
at the arm difference.
Yeah, here's the thing too. Is
I mean, holy shit, dude.
One thing that Izzy said that happened to him during the fight is he said he lost his legs after the first three rounds, and that change in weight ultimately comes to that, because when you're out of shape, I'm not saying he's out of shape, but you know what I'm saying? When you're not used to carrying that weight, when you're used to, you know, taking your body down and fighting and weighing in at like a lower weight and fighting at a lower weight, your body's not used to carrying that extra weight when you're grappling, when you're just, you know what I'm saying? Like, his legs were the first thing to go. That just shows that, like, he didn't carry that weight properly. You know what I'm saying? Like, that he didn't fully commit to being a 205, or he more just like
Jan landed, you know, like 11 solid leg strikes to Izzy. Maybe not all of them solid, but maybe not a huge amount, but it was about 10% of his striking, you know, was it Izzy's leg. But those were Jan's legs are tree trunks. I mean, these are two men who are
similar
in height.
Very underrated.
Jan, there's the two men very similar in height, but I mean, if you just look at arm size alone, Jan was way bigger, way thicker, way more powerful.
I'm just gonna be honest. Jan is very underrated.
I don't know why, but yes.
I don't know if I want to say what I was gonna say.
Why? Does it sound terrible? Are we gonna get canceled?
I think he could give John a run for his money.
Oh, we're not gonna get canceled for that. He might.
I think he could give John a run for his money. I hate saying that because I love John Jones. You notice
John Jones has been very complimentary of Blachowicz.
Yeah.
He doesn't want any heat there, maybe. Who knows?
I'm not saying he's ducking him by any means. I'm just saying that. Jan has, he's gotten so much better in just a 3-year span that, I don't know, man. He could go down as one of the greats.
Well, here, let's talk about the round-by-round numbers. Let's break this down like we were talking about. And again, these are just stats. They're not the whole story, but it's a lot when you're talking about Israel Adesanya being a striking specialist here. But in the first round, total strikes landed. We had Blachowicz landing 58% of his strikes, 18 of 31, to Adesanya's 13 of 30 at 43%. So that's interesting. Round two, 23 of 49 for Blachowicz, 21 of 42 for Izzy, about similar, close to 50% for both guys. Round three, you've got Jan outstriking him again, 24 to 21.
He also rocked Jan.
Round four, you've got him outstriking him, 14 to 11. And then round five, you've got him outstriking him, 28 to 12. So, I mean, I don't know how you don't make the argument that he outstruck him. He outstruck him by numbers every single round in the last
but round four and five, a lot of those strikes are from up top.
Mm-hmm.
They're not from standing.
Yeah, because in round four and five, Izzy landed 11 and 12 strikes.
I said he may have outstruck him, but I think the quality of strikes that Izzy hit him with were better.
I'm not saying every punch was good, but I wouldn't necessarily say that either because they all came from a distance. Like 98% of Izzy's strikes were at distance. So he landed a few good pops. I'm not saying they were bad. But he
definitely rocked Jan, and Jan never rocked Izzy once.
Oh, I disagree. He on top, he may have, blows. But he didn't look standing, rocked. He looked stunned. Rocked and stunned are two different things.
He was chicken-legged for a couple seconds.
Then how come Izzy, the striking specialist, couldn't take out the chicken-legged fucking 205er?
I feel you, but I'm just saying. You can't.
If he was rocked, it'd
be understand, over. I understand your problem with Izzy. I get it. For this fight.
I love Israel Adesanya. I know, but I am you don't a fan, like, but he you don't like him because he talked shit.
So much shit. And it also included a man named Stipe, and you don't let anybody talk shit about Stipe.
You're right, I don't.
That's literally what it is.
And it's not that he talked shit. I like the shit talk. It's that afterward, he tried to brush it all off like it wasn't a big deal. When you got to be like, dude, you're going to get some flack. When you talk that much shit, you got to take some flack back.
Yeah, he
was just like, oh, well, it was. Dude, all that shit you said about size, chasing John Jones, I'm going to go whoop Stipe's ass. Dude, John Jones will fuck your world up at heavyweight. I'm sorry. John Jones is 252 pounds right now. He's going to murder your fucking ass.
Yeah,
you cannot fuck with these guys that are that much heavier. Because we saw what happened. Once Jan took him to the ground, Izzy physically did not have the strength to get up.
Yeah, but here's my question to you. That fight wasn't so far gone that if Izzy completely committed his body to becoming a 205er, that he was so technically outmatched that if they ever ran this back in the future, that he couldn't beat Jan.
Well, I would hope not because he was undefeated and supposedly one of the very best mixed martial artists on the planet. Not just in the UFC because he's Israel Adesanya. He has 100 fucking MMA fights.
Yeah.
Like
not. Oh, you mean kickboxing?
I mean fights total, combat sports fights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he had 86 in kickboxing plus his losses, plus 20 in MMA and, like, 9 boxing. I mean, incredibly fucking decorated guy. I would hope that if he'd sized up, he should, because size matters.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it boiled down to, and I just find it so annoying, because not only did he say, I'm not going to gain weight, he went on to literally, like, ridicule others who thought that size mattered. Like, he's like, no, that's stupid. John, and he specifically said, I know he's looking for heat and traction here, but he's like, John Jones is an idiot for putting on weight to go to heavyweight. And I thought that was do you not understand the dynamics of these bigger guys? This ain't kickboxing, bro. Yeah, I fought at heavyweight at kickboxing. It's impressive. And?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
They don't pick you up and throw you down and sit on you. That's, so what?
Well, he had never experienced that before. I feel like now he has a new respect.
Taken down even. Yeah, now he's like, oh, yeah, I'm the king of 85. I'm going to go rule my roost. Yeah, you should.
And that's fine.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But all your shit was fucking dumb, and you just got proven completely and 100% wrong. because a guy you might be more skilled than just beat you up, outstruck you every round, took you down, and would have fucking TKO'd you if there'd been another minute in that fight. That doesn't mean he sucks. Doesn't mean he's an A, but dude, there's weight divisions for a reason.
Well, I would compare this fight similar to that Dustin Poirier Max Holloway fight.
Yep,
because
I agree.
Like it just it all came down to the size. Like Max just wasn't like on that same level. Like I feel like if Max was the same size as Dustin, like
be different
physically.
Yes.
It would be.
I feel the same thing
fight.
With this. If he was a real 205er, he probably would win that fight.
Yeah,
it's different. That's all it's I'm different. Saying here. Yeah. And if he hadn't made such a point of saying no, it doesn't matter, I wouldn't be so. You can't just brush this off, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You need to eat a little bit of shit here.
But one person who can't say shit is Paulo Costa. I didn't like that.
Paulo Costa trying
like,
to chime
Paulo
in
Costa,
on
shut the nothing. Fuck up, dude.
Go drink your fucking wine, bro.
Yeah.
Fucking pansy.
And then you didn't like, and then you thought he was serious about that line at the end. He was obviously poking at Costa. You thought he was serious about. I stayed
well,
up all night.
I
didn't
think that was the time. How many people are thinking about Paul Costa right now?
He's a fucking troll, though. That's his persona. He's the ultimate troll. Even when he's losing, he's still trying to troll somebody.
I'll tell you
else.
What I would have liked, and he did say this later, so I'll give him credit for it. But afterwards, if he would have just been like, "Yeah, I think you wait for the champ actually for the." The fucking interview. I don't know what happened behind the scenes there. I'm not even bringing it up, but whatever.
Yeah.
He should have just been like, in my opinion, immediately. I was like, well, I guess I should have bulked up. I was wrong for all that shit I said about size mattering, because clearly Jan is a very skilled fighter and beat me, and that size was an advantage that he had. Kudos to the champ. I'm going to go back to 85. Then talk your shit or do whatever. But because you're right, I got nitpicky. He talked about my boy Stipe. Try to act like you're going to beat up Stipe.
I know you.
Just stay in your lane.
I didn't want to say it over text because I was like, I knew it the whole time. I was like, I'm just going to say it on the show because it's
right.
Better to address it there.
I get finicky about that motherfucker. I don't know.
That's your boy.
Stipe's a hero to me. I mean, for real, boy. I respect, and I don't mean, I think he's like Superman. I really respect a person who, I know what it's like to be a father.
Yeah,
I know what it's like to have a hard job and then to go do shit where you're saving people on the side. I just respect the shit out of it.
Yeah, I feel you.
And Stipe don't get no respect.
Yeah, I feel you.
But anyways, you're right. That's funny. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. He dare bring Stipe in.
Because I know that? Because you were fucking with Izzy hella until he started talking shit about how he could move up to his heavyweight, not fight Jones, and that he'd fight Stipe instead. You're like, no, that's not happening. I was like, it could happen. And you're like, nah, fuck that shit. It's not happening.
That's so funny. I didn't even really notice.
Yep, I got you.
That's hilarious. So there you go. I own it.
But,
you're right.
Hey, ultimately, I just feel like shit happens. He dared, like, I know everyone's like, it's a shitty line, but ultimately it's true. He dared to be great, fell short. Now he goes back to 185, and he's still the king there. I mean, that's just his what it is. I don't think he really took any damage to this fight either that was, like, ultimately going to hold him out for a long period of time either.
Right.
He could probably turn around and fight in May.
Yeah, I think he'll
or July if they have international fight week. Maybe.
And I think all this Jon Jones talk is going to be done with, which is fine. I don't think
which
that fight
fine,
needs to happen, dude. You're going to go have a big career at 85. If he wants to maintain that body shape, I think that's where you go. Maybe you go up like Anderson and you fuck with the dude who's not the goddamn champ.
Well,
whatever.
This
like,
is what happened with
like
the
Anderson
fight, too.
You know?
It all fell apart as well. He was supposed to fight Anderson, and then Anderson
lost.
Well,
no, I mean, like, Anderson would bop up to 205 and fight, like, guys that, you know, he fought Stephen Bonner. I mean, no disrespect, but he fought Forrest when Forrest was way in the downside of his career.
Yeah.
He wasn't fighting the current champion.
Yeah, I feel
you. You want to pop up and do that shit and stay at the same weight? You might be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
But Jan is the champ for a reason. He's not getting the respect he deserved before then. The guy is He's the fucking champ. He just beat Israel Adesanya.
Yep. And now
he knocked out Dominic Reyes, who everybody thought was the people's champ because he technically beat Jon Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He fucking slept Luke Rockhold. I mean,
slept him too. Like slept his ass.
Like, let's start talking about that, dude. Let's make it the Jan show here at 205.
Yeah,
Israel can go back and make it the Izzy show at 85.
True.
And let's start celebrating this guy who seems to be like a really good dude.
Yeah, he's dope.
Seems like a family-oriented guy.
Yep.
And he just goes out there, and he's very skillful, man. It's
Polish power.
The Polish power, yes. I don't know. That's probably not Polish.
Yeah.
It's Russian. Whatever. He's a fucking solid performance. You're right. Israel tried for greatness, whatever. That's what he keeps saying. That's good. I guess that chaps my ass a little bit because I feel like Connor didn't get that shine. Like, he tried for greatness against Floyd, and the majority of people wanted to say, Floyd carried him for 10 rounds. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, Jan just carried Israel Adesanya for fucking the five rounds because he wanted to make it an exciting performance.
Like, here's the thing. Stop. Is I don't understand why people like compare them so much, but you know they're both represented by the same people, so they're both being promoted exactly the same.
Like, well, that's probably why.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, this was the Izzy show. I mean, if Hedy won here and been a champ, I mean,
it would have been a glorious moment for sure.
I'm sure Dana had a plan.
Oh yeah, no.
I don't think Dana had much plans for Jan winning here.
No, well, actually, he did. Did you fight Glover?
Oh yeah,
Glover's waiting there,
but
in the
it's not the fan.
But if Izzy won, he's not fighting Glover. he's fighting John.
I compare it to like if Jan wins, he's going to run. Yep, he's going to fight Glover next. If Izzy wins, like trumpets would have been sounding, confetti fucking falling. Yeah. Theoretically, you know.
Well, that's kind of what they did when Connor won the double champ. Remember, it was the first time they had the one person press conference after he was by himself and shit.
So stupid. They didn't have his belt for him. No.
So, yeah, I mean, shit happens.
Good for Izzy.
Go back
to
the shed.
Go back in your lane.
Yeah.
Stop on Jon Jones, and let's see you defend that title like fucking Anderson Silva. You know, rattle off your 16 in the division.
Yep.
Shit like that.
He's just like Jon now. He's 20-1.
And let's see Jan get out here and fucking do something good.
Yeah, Jan's looking fucking good, dude. He looks ridiculous.
I think he'll take out Glover, personally.
Yeah, I do too. I don't really see anybody who's going to fuck with him. I think he'll take out Rockage too.
You know, Jon Jones seems to like, I mentioned it briefly earlier, but I mean, he gives respect to Blachowicz.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him. I'm sure he'll eventually get a big welcome back in Poland. I know he did when he won the title.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're short on stars like him there in sports. Like, that's why, Joanna Young Jacek is such a big deal over there, you know, because they don't have it. And now they've got Jan here who really cemented his spot. It's hard to be considered the man when he didn't get the opportunity to beat Jon Jones. But
he
now
wanted to.
It wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
But now he's really cemented it. Like he knocked out Dominic Reyes, and then this here, even though it's against an 85er.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, that's the next best thing to Jon Jones, isn't it? Fucking Israel Adesanya?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, there you go.
Name-wise, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. So, big feather in his cap.
Well, I think that about wraps up our recap of 259.
Yeah, yeah.
Great night of fights.
It was. It was really impressive.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah.
You know.
So, let's move on to this fight night we got coming up. Headlined by Leon Edwards. And Bilal Muhammad.
Not the fight we were supposed to get. But
yeah, we were supposed to get Leon and Chimaev here.
But this is Bilal Muhammad. I like him, dude. Tough, I think he's a star in the making here. This is a great opportunity for him.
Hell of an opportunity.
Like, he beats Leon Edwards here, then he's going to have the mic after a main event. Admittedly, it's nowhere near the card we got this past week.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good opportunity for him. I think it's a big danger zone here for Leon Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time getting on the Edwards train. I don't even remember him anymore. Christ. And I'm kidding, but it's like,
I think Leon, this is a good chance for him.
He fought in 2019 last. It's 2021.
Yeah, true.
I mean,
yeah, but this is his chance to prove, like, there's levels of this shit. Like, he is the upper echelon of the division.
He's what? Bilal's, 8 in a row.
Yeah, right. Bilal's kind of viewed as, like, that 15 to, like, 12, like, ranking spot, you know?
Bilal's tough, though, man.
He's tough, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if Leon really wants to, like, prove that he still belongs and his time off has been, he's been doing nothing but getting better, he comes out here and he takes care of business.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if he does that. Who are you taking?
Dude, I'm taking Bilal Muhammad.
I'm taking Bilal with the upset also.
I think he's going to come out. I think he's going to say something cool on the mic.
That ring rust matters.
I think it does, too.
And Bilal's fought fucking 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's real fresh. And he's been on an upswing where Leon Edwards has been, too. But the problem is he's just been sitting over there stagnant.
Yeah.
And we just don't know. And that unknown makes me just go with Bilal Muhammad.
True. Then we got Mirsha Sirkinov taking on Ryan Spann. A little bit of action at the bottom of the top 15 at light heavyweight. I like... I like Serkanov here. He's tough.
Serkanov's tough.
He's a tough motherfucker, dude.
He's pretty underrated. I've seen him do some pretty impressive stuff in the cage. Mm-hmm. He flies under the radar. I think he's going to take out Span. Yeah, all these guys here ranked at the weight class are tough. But Serkanov, I like him in this fight, too.
I do, too.
Here we got Dan Ige fighting on this card, too. He's always fun to watch, right?
Fighting Gavin Tucker.
And Gavin Tucker's fun, too.
He's tough, dude. You know, tough,
he's unranked.
Tough,
but he's
Canadian
good.
Man.
Yeah.
He's tatted, bro. Yeah, like, he's tatted fucking tatted. It's nuts. He's good, though. Have you. He just beat. I think. Shit. Now I'm going to forget. Of course.
I don't know. I didn't get his information. I didn't look it up. But he's a good fighter.
Yeah.
That's what I say. He's a good fighter. We don't know anything about his
stats. Dan Ige, he's a fucking...
Dan Ige is real entertaining. He's a savage. I like him, dude. But this, just because there's... you know, Dan Ige's ranked number 9. Tucker's not ranked. That doesn't mean anything. Tucker's a tough out. Dan Ige's going to have his hands full here.
Yeah, he's coming off that loss to Calvin Kattar still. So he's got to make a statement as well.
Good luck. I'm going to go with the underdog here, too. I like Tucker in this fight as well. Angela Hill is coming back for yet another appearance.
Well,
it is her.
Been rescheduled twice.
2, 3, 4, 5. 87th fight in the past 87 days. It's a new record in all of sports. No, I'm kidding. But obviously, she is very, very, very active. Like, she is now turning into the Donald Cerrone of the women's divisions. By that, I mean fighting anybody, anytime, anywhere, all the time for like a couple years now. She's just in the octagon, and her skill level is increasing as well. Yeah. I mean, she lost that really razor-thin fight against, was it Gedalia? I thought she won that personally. I was really bummed to see her take the L from the judges there.
Yeah.
But she's back fighting Ashley Yoder. Ashley Yoder's tough.
She's tough.
She should have taken easy
fight. This fight's been rescheduled 3 times, like I was saying before.
Has it been COVID-related, or has it been... Oh, okay.
It keeps getting COVID tracing.
Shit. I forget our videos are on YouTube. We shouldn't say that word.
Oh, shit.
But whatever.
Bleep it out.
Well, we're not monetizing those anyways. But
okay.
Yeah, it's certain words on YouTube these days are making it more and more where you literally can't say certain things.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, yeah, I like Angela Hill here.
I like Angela Hill both from an analytic perspective and from a fan perspective.
Yeah.
So hopefully she gets the win here. Another guy I like, both guys are like coming in at 185 pounds. Who are they?
Eric Anders taking on Darren the Dentist Stewart.
Dude, Darren the Dentist Stewart.
He's tough. But
I think he's appropriately taken, because the original dentist, of course, for me will always be Josh Neer, who's, of course, no longer fighting anywhere near the UFC. But Darren Stewart is a worthy name holder for the dentist. And Eric Anders... You know, he had that brief stint up at 205, right?
Yeah.
And he looked okay, but I think he's better suited back down here at 85.
Yeah. Well, and Eric Anders, he's kind of got like a different story, too. He was a D1 football player at University of Alabama and kind of like transitioned to MMA later on in life. So I feel like those kind of guys like that have the athletic gifts that aren't maybe as like sharpened on their skills.
Yes.
I feel like he's one of those guys who's made the most like evolution, like, of all, like, I know there's been a few guys who come from the NFL and stuff like that, and college football and shit like that, that have switched over to fighting. I think he's, like, just starting to come into his own. Like, this is, he's just got all the skills, and now it's just up to him to really make a run, you know what I mean?
They just have to learn to apply those movements in slightly different scenarios, but all the speed and necessary muscle skills are there. I think football players have a tremendous advantage coming in if they can learn basics. It doesn't have to be heavyweights. Like, just because of their power, it can be these smaller guys, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I like him to win here.
Yeah, like
also, I'm a fan of his. He's a tough dude, and I think he's going to get a good, solid win here over Darren Stewart. And I'm interested to see what he can do back down at 85.
Yep. Well, now we got some unfortunate news.
Yeah, that rounds out the fight. You know, the fights themselves
coming
up for the most part. But we had some retirements and firings, as I mentioned, you know, at the top of the show here. Who was it, Paul?
Well, it wasn't really retirings. They kind of...
Well, not retirings. I mean, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said retiring. I meant they're releasing.
So, Junior Dos Santos and Alistair Overeem have both been cut by the UFC.
Which is, for me, it's surprising and not surprising at the same time.
Well, me as well.
Because these are guys with a lot of star power behind their names.
Yeah.
If you look at their star power and their name value, you'd think the UFC would hang on to them. You look at their fight records and the amount of money they get paid, you can see why the UFC might be like,
exactly.
Well, Tom Aspinall is looking You know,
yeah, I feel you.
Alistair Overeem gets like, I think $400,000
flat fee, probably
flat fee minimum.
Yeah,
you know, some of these guys, right. They paid him a lot.
Yeah, and he's fallen on tough times.
So had Junior Dos Santos, and he looked so bad. I mean, I have been a fan of Junior since back in the day, man. When he was the champ, I thought it was awesome, dude. But that doesn't keep me from criticizing him. And I really, really was disappointed in that Cyril Gane fight.
Yeah, it was rough.
Like, I remember live tweet or live texting you, like, what in the fuck is wrong with Junior Dos Santos? This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know. And so I look at that, I'm like, yeah, no wonder, dude.
Yeah.
You probably should go fight in Bellator right now. And that becomes the question, is where now do they go? Are they going to retire?
What if Alistair goes to one and starts juicing it again?
He could probably juice in Bellator, too.
Probably.
I mean, is that coming back? Are we going to see TRT Overeem again? He doesn't even need to get illegal steroids here, let's be honest. He can just go get on a TRT replacement program. I mean, it's not banned there. It's not like we're talking about he's going to be taking Strazenol or some bullshit.
Eating that horse meat again.
Right. But he can get back on a TRT.
Yeah,
and let's be honest. Go if you think he hasn't changed. If you don't know what we're talking about, folks, just Google Alistair Overeem, what he looks like now, last fight, and go to Google Images, and then go Google Alistair versus Brock Lesnar. Yeah, no, just Google Alistair versus Brock Lesnar face off, and you will see he's a goddamn monster of a man. Yeah. He's the only man ever that could make Brock look kind of little.
Rough.
And he's nowhere near the same. And the only difference was USADA came in.
Yeah,
and I think he had some infractions prior, possibly. I don't want to besmirch his name, and I'm not talking shit. You do what you do. But he can get back on that TRT, I think.
He could, yeah, for sure. You know,
don't mean to imply doing anything illegal here. But he definitely could get on the TRT. I mean, he's fucking like 38 or whatever.
Yeah.
And go straight to the dock, sir.
Yep, that's what Vitor is doing for his one debut.
He certainly. We're going to see TRT. I'm not against it.
I'm not either. No,
I mean, cool. Dude, go.
As long as everyone knows what's going on, who cares?
Right.
It's when people hide shit and are fucking fighting clean people's when it gets
that's
scary.
The difference when it's not an equal opportunity. Equal
pool, yeah.
Doesn't mean everybody has to be juicing, but they could, if they want the opportunity to get us some TRT as well.
Oops.
Right. Yeah. So I didn't have a problem with it in Pride. Yeah. It's practically encouraged in Pride.
Yeah.
But everybody knew it.
Yeah.
So. That is what it is. I'm excited by those. Where do they go? Is it you think Overeem's going to one or Bellator?
I think Overeem's going to one, and I think JDS will go to Bellator.
The rosters are completely set for PFL this year, right?
I think so. Maybe, PFL could use JDS.
PFL
get
could
that
use
JDS versus
Verdum.
Versus Verdum final. I'll take it.
I would take it too, actually. That's not bad.
Yeah, I'll take it.
How about JDS? Does he go to one? Is that possible? I mean, who's the heavyweight champion over there, though? Is Brandon Vera, right?
Yeah,
the dude who last defended the
Alistair
title like 3 years
Brandon
ago. Vera doesn't defend the title.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think he would lose.
Maybe they have a lack of big dudes over there in one.
Probably.
And they have a lot of the smaller guys.
Yeah, because he lost his light heavyweight belt.
Vera did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's still heavyweight champion. He just hasn't defended him. They don't seem to care about stripping him for whatever reason, but it's not like he's turning down fights. Maybe they're not there. But
yeah.
So if Overeem went there, that'd be interesting. I think the most likely scenario though is
they're talking about Ryzen also for Overeem.
Mm. He has
that's
a
where
follower.
He started.
Yeah.
Was out there.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think either one of them hangs up the gloves at this point.
You don't think so? I definitely don't think Alistair does.
I think they would have just retired before they got cut. I think the UFC would have given them an option. You can retire or we'll cut you.
Yeah, true.
Cut.
Good point. Know. Yeah.
They retire, then they got.
Yeah, true.
So I think they both earned that at the very least. So I expect them to see him fighting. My guess is Bellator, which begs the question, then can either of them fuck around with Ryan Bader?
Maybe. I think Alistair has a better chance than JDS would.
JDS needs some evolution.
Yeah.
He needs to mix it up a little bit here.
Yeah.
I know he's a good... I don't consider him a good boxer, but it's like, JDS is such a good boxer. He's a good puncher. He's not a good boxer. There's a fucking difference. Boxers don't keep their hands at their fucking waist. It's not 1850. So, like, JDS has always got his hands down at his waist and winging punches from his hips.
Yeah.
But he's a good puncher, though.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference. Because both of them have talked about going over the boxing, too. And we talked about that at length last week, you know, my point.
Alistair used to kickbox, so maybe Alistair, but not
JDS. Yeah, he might have a bit of a thing.
Yeah.
But
not JDS, no.
No, no.
I think Bellator, Alistair actually used to box, too. I think he has boxing matches.
Maybe. Alistair's, he's so decorated. It's too bad Alistair's could never get the UFC so gold.
Yeah. It's the one that eluded him.
Other than that, he's... You know, the most decorated guy out there as far as belts with the Dream, the K1,
yep,
et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better for them, Strikeforce. I think it's better for them to be out of the UFC, honestly. When you look at their record and how they've done, do you really want to see JDS fight another fucking dude and get fucking knocked out in the UFC?
Nah, it's better. It's better they move on to lower level competition.
Yeah, how about something where they actually have a shot here? It's not the same tired fights we've seen.
Yeah.
And somebody else can step up and hopefully fill the vacuum. Like, the UFC tends to be you create a vacuum and someone steps in and fills it. So
yeah, true. Ultimately.
We'll see who that is.
Yeah. So, some more unfortunate news. Dan Hardy was let go from the UFC/BT Sport.
Yeah, who did quite a lot of announcing and show work on BT on the UFC topics. Yeah. I mean, he had a breakdown show on BT Sports.
Yep.
And of course, so he's an analyst. YouTube. Yeah, his YouTube, his full reptile channel.
Yeah.
This was broken first by Dave Meltzer on his Wrestling Observer newsletter. And all the information that is out there is that there was an argument between him and some sort of female UFC employee, possibly in an official capacity, maybe not. Yeah. We don't really know.
Well, he
then
came out.
Dan comes out with a different story.
Yeah, he came out on Twitter and said that he didn't have an argument with a woman. He had an argument about how she got promotion for something over he did, and he just thought it wasn't right or something.
Look, we're not going to know anything other than the fact there's more to the story than we know from the UFC and BT side. Because why would BT Sports... What is that?
Because he was on a UFC like show,
right?
So I think it was like a part of his like contract.
And this didn't happen this weekend. The news broke this weekend, which kind of makes a little bit more sense on his fucking all of a sudden he's calling for fights with Nick Diaz,
which makes me wonder. So if he's fired on the announcer side, is he still technically under contract as far as the fighting side? Like if he were to come out of retirement.
He still needs, from what Meltzer was saying.
Nah,
he still needs to provide medicals.
He already got passed
from that Wolf Parkinson syndrome.
Yeah, he already has been cleared by a doctor. It happened a few months ago, so that guy, I don't know, he was a little bit off on that.
Well,
who knows with these kind of situations too? Also, like,
it depends on where the UFC draws the line at their different businesses. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If they draw a major distinction between what you do as a broadcaster for them and what you do as a fighter for them, then one shouldn't influence the other. If they view it as one big happy family, then it might fucking influence the other. And Dan Hardy might find himself fucking cut or let out of his contract because he is owe fights still.
I was going to say, I think he still does owe fights.
But, I mean, it's been 8 fucking years since Dan Hardy fought last. I'm not really
strumming
the fucking CM.
Same thing, Nick Diaz hasn't fought in, what, 7 years, 6 years?
Yeah, I mean, I see why Dan wants that fight. I don't see why the hell Nick Diaz would be like, yeah, Dan Hardy, that's the big name I'm going to cash out in.
Yeah, I feel you.
And I don't mean that as disrespectful to Dan.
There's levels
to fame, though, and just because you're a broadcaster doesn't mean you're a huge draw.
I feel like he's a bigger...
The casual fan is like, Dan Hardy... Oh, that is he the Michael Bisping guy?
No.
I mean, they talk about, the British UFC fighter. Oh, Michael Bisping?
Yeah.
No. The guy, you never see his face, but you heard a voice. I'm just talking about casuals, people who buy pay-per-views.
Yeah, I feel you.
Here. Like,
I do think his name has grown since he's retired, though. Like, I think he's more of a draw now than he was when he was fighting.
Probably. He's putting in the work. Getting a name out.
He's got
out.
A pretty big following.
Yeah. Well, but it's tough to see anybody. I don't know what happened. I assume because all he did is lose his job. It's not that big of a deal, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be worried about it.
So it is what it is, but it is MMA news. I mean, if you're in the community, he's a big voice of the community.
Yeah.
You know, he had that big dust-up with Herb Dean.
Well, I think that's why he was on thin ice.
Yeah, I still think he was in the wrong for that. I mean, I know his point was good, but
yeah,
that doesn't mean your delivery is correct. Like, you can't... There's titles and positions, and an announcer of the fight cannot be interacting with an official of the fight during a fight in a silent arena.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem. It's not, it doesn't matter what you said was right or wrong.
Yeah.
What you did was wrong. Not what you said. You can say whatever you want. Like, there's a time and a place. Yeah. And that's, you're influencing a fight. You're, at that point, no matter what your point is, be it right or wrong, you're a person with no authority over the fight attempting to influence the outcome of the fight. Like, that's why everybody, like, fucking Dana got so mad and said, anybody ever does that again, they're getting fired on the spot. It's not what was said. It's the decorum was all fucked up. Like, you can't possibly do that there. And it just, Dan never seemed to click with that shit. I don't know why. Because he kept bringing it up in the broadcast booth over and over again. He'd talk about that shit.
Yeah.
And then he would make, like, not very thinly veiled comments about it. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be like, now that was a good stoppage by a referee right there. When I'm looking for a good stoppage, that's what I mean. But if you're following the situation, like, clearly he's fucking referencing Herb Dean again.
Yeah,
you know.
I feel you.
I don't know how many times you keep poking the fucking bear before you do something that might not have got you fired if you hadn't been poking the goddamn bear for fucking, 3 months or whatever.
True.
Could have been that. Yeah. Who knows? But best to Dan.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I don't want to see the guy succeed, whatever happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's getting the Nick Diaz fight anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good luck.
Good luck. Well, I think that about wraps our show up for today.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you're brand new to the show, you can catch us on anywhere you get your podcasts from Google Podcasts to Spotify and everything else in between. And now on the radio on KLVM.com, the Mix of Las Vegas. Get all that information in one handy spot. Paul, where's it at?
SWATMMA.com. You can head over there, click the gear button, buy a t-shirt, and support the podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
Peace.
Peace.